This is DW News live from Berlin. A document dump shows banks were involved in illegal dealings. Hundreds of investigative journalists working together reveal documents leaked from US financial authorities that appear to prove big banks facilitated corruption, money laundering and sanctions busting on behalf of criminals. More mass protests in Belarus. Pro-democracy activists call another day of demonstrations after police arrest hundreds of people, mainly women, demanding the resignation of hardline president Alexander Lukashenko. And with infection rates soaring again in the UK, the government slaps hefty fines on quarantine breakers and mulls imposing a second total lockdown. I'm Pablo Folelias. We open with the programme with news involving money laundering, illegal financial flows and a banking scandal of gigantic proportions. For years, banks around the world appear to have helped divert and conceal funds originating from criminal activities. Documents leaked from US financial authority FinCEN seem to show how banks helped to circumvent international sanctions, including those against Iran and Syria. Danish and British banks, but also Deutsche Bank, are implicated in the leaked files.
All over the world, criminals are using the global financial system to launder money. It's a dirty but lucrative business for the banks. If a bank notices a suspicious transfer, it has to report it to the authorities. Thousands of such reports were obtained by BuzzFeed News and then evaluated by the ICIJ. It's an international network of investigative journalists. They've discovered evidence of money laundering worth $2 trillion. You can earn a lot by handling money from criminal sources. That's why it's hard for banks to say no to criminal money. In Germany, Deutsche Bank has some explaining to do. The country's largest bank already had to pay millions in fines in 2017 after dodgy dealings in Russia. The investigation reveals that those illegal activities are much more extensive than previously thought. Russian criminals used Deutsche Bank's Moscow branch to launder millions. The current CEO, Christian Sewing, served as head of corporate auditing at the time. He did not raise the alarm. But subsequent external investigations did. Deutsche Bank says it has since toughened its internal controls, and it denies that CEO Sewing did anything wrong. It says he was unaware of the external probe. He founded a unit that led these investigations. There've since been external investigations too, and at no stage could any responsibility be traced back to the head of the business. The investigation also shows that US President Donald Trump may have profited from dirty money. Oligarchs from Kazakhstan allegedly bought apartments at a Trump New York property with laundered money. Trump's company denies knowing who these customers were, but they did make money from the transactions. The investigation shows the scale of international money laundering. Efforts to curb it are floundering because regulators can't get to grips with highly sophisticated criminal networks.
Well, to discuss all of this, I'm joined by anti-money laundering expert Graham Barrow. He works with NGOs, including Transparency International, and also worked for a number of global banks. Hi, Graham, and thanks for joining us on the programme. I want to ask you, can you describe the dimension of this scandal? Because the scale of it seems to be absolutely enormous.
Well, it is absolutely enormous. And sadly, when you look at it, it's still not the entire picture. It's still just those that have been leaked by these this SARS leak. So the entirety of the scandal is even bigger than this. But this is certainly the biggest leak and the largest sums of money that we've ever spoken about in terms of money laundering.
Yeah, well, banks like Deutsche Bank, they're accused of being involved in around 60% of the transactions are in effect helping criminals. Now, how does it all work in practice, though?
Well, in a way, you could put a positive gloss on the Deutsche Bank thing, because potentially they are just reporting a lot more potentially suspicious activity than the other banks. So you'd be a bit careful with that. But how does it work in practice? I mean, most people don't understand the scale of transactions that flow through banks every single day. It is absolutely enormous. And the banks have this challenge, which is a really important challenge, to extract from those flows anything that could be suspicious. Fundamental to that requirement is that they know who all of their customers are. They need to do that properly and seriously. And I think one of the things that comes out of these leaks is that that's an area that they haven't taken seriously enough. And a lot of these flows have happened because of a fundamental misunderstanding at the time they were happening, who they were dealing with, only to be corrected later when stories have started appearing in the press or whatever, and they've gone back and had a look and found, oh my gosh, we did business with these people.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what's also sort of quite shocking. It's for the amount of time that it's been going on. It's been going on for years. Now, the control mechanism isn't working, obviously. Now, why have the banks been allowed to continue doing this, though, for such a long period of time?
It's a complex question, and it's been going on, frankly, for 20 or 30 or more years since banking became a global business. And in a way, we're all responsible slightly for this happening, because when banks get into trouble, they get fined, and they don't like being fined. It hurts their reputation. So what they end up doing is putting in place policies and procedures that please the regulators, that keep the regulators happy. But it may not be the necessary tasks that they need to do to stop the financial crime from happening. And the other really important thing to understand with this money laundering side of things is that most of the risks that banks take have a cost to them. If a bank lends a lot of money and somebody runs off with that money, the bank has lost the money. Money laundering is one of the very few risks that they face where they make money on doing it. And I'm not suggesting that they do it deliberately, but it's a very different approach when, by doing the job properly, you are going to probably remove customers from your business and lose the money they bring you at the same time as having to spend a lot of money doing it. So it's psychologically, it's a big ask of the banks.
Well, we've already mentioned a few of the big banks, some of the big well-known banks. Have any of them actually responded yet?
I think there have been the usual responses, which is the ones you would expect, which is that we're unable at any point to even acknowledge that we filed those SARs, let alone comment on the people within them, and that at all times we have met our responsibilities under the relevant regulations or legislation to the very best of our ability. Now, you can look at the fines you've mentioned, Deutsche Bank and HSBC and others who've been fined huge amounts of money. So clearly the regulators don't think they have. And it's been a very painful lesson for the banks to try and get themselves to a point where they're getting it right, and they're not yet.
Graham Barrow, anti-money laundering expert, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, in Belarus, protesters aren't giving up despite a worsening government crackdown. Tens of thousands of people gathered in major cities throughout the country on Sunday. Police and the army have been out in force, again detaining peaceful demonstrators who are calling for President Lukashenko to step down after disputed elections.
The streets of Minsk turned into a sea of red and white flags, the symbol of the opposition. Tens of thousands joined the March of Justice in the capital and other cities. It's the sixth straight Sunday of protests. But what looks like a high turnout was actually significantly lower than other weekends. Perhaps a result of calls by President Alexander Lukashenko for tougher action against his critics, who want him to step down. Some of them have never experienced Belarus without him. Belarus is dreaming of democracy. Belarus is dreaming of freedom and justice, where laws are observed. We don't want our children to grow up in a prison. Look around. There are people in uniforms behind barbed wire everywhere. The government is flexing its military muscles. armored vehicles are meant to intimidate protesters. Metro stations were closed. The internet slowed down. Dozens were arrested. And police brutality is getting more and more visible, like here in Grodno. I'm not resisting. Stop strangling me. I haven't done anything, shouts this protester before police arrests him. In response to the latest escalation of violence, an online messaging channel with more than 2 million subscribers published a list of names, birthdays and addresses of more than 1,000 police officers.
Well, let's take a look at some other stories making news around the world. U.S. President Donald Trump says he wants to appoint another woman to replace veteran Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died on Friday. Republicans have vowed to press ahead with the nomination, but Democrats argue that the process should be delayed until after the election in November. Here in Germany, the Interior Minister, Horst Seehofer, has again rejected calls for an investigation into racial profiling by the police, insisting that there was no structural problem. Instead, he wants to conduct a study into racism in German society in general. 29 German police officers were recently suspended over far-right group chats. The captain of the rescue ship Alan Kurdi, run by German charity CI, says the vessel is still waiting for permission to dock on the Italian island of Lampedusa after picking up more than 130 migrants in the southern Mediterranean. The people were spotted drifting in two overloaded rubber boats and a wooden fishing vessel. Well, the number of new coronavirus infections has been rising rapidly in many parts of Europe since the beginning of September. The United Kingdom is among the most badly hit by this new surge. Now, the latest figures show that new daily coronavirus cases have risen to more than 4,400. That's the highest daily rate since early May. And overall, almost 42,000 people have died of the coronavirus in the UK. That's by far the highest tally in Europe, and the health minister has now refused to rule out a second total lockdown in England.
As the UK enjoys the final days of summer, it's not just the approaching winter that fills many with a sense of foreboding. With infection rates rising, a second lockdown is increasingly likely.
We face a tipping point as a country. And everyone has a role in the choice that we face. Either everybody follows the rules, or we're going to have to take more stringent actions.
Starting this month, people who have tested positive for the coronavirus will be hit with stiff fines if they break quarantine. Such fines are nothing new, but at £10,000 for repeat offenders, the financial hit for those caught is significant. The UK government has not shied away from controversial decisions. It has not, however, managed to implement an effective national testing system. In the past weeks, bottlenecks have forced many people to travel hundreds of kilometres for a test.
If I was the Prime Minister, I would apologise for the mess that we got into on testing. We wasted the summer when we should have prepared for this.
So far, local lockdowns have been centred on the north of the country, but the capital, London, is likely to be next. Its mayor has already demanded that restaurants and pubs close by 10 p.m.
Well, to sport now, and Bayer Leverkusen opened their Bundesliga campaign looking to bounce back from the bitter disappointment of last season when they were pipped at the last minute to a Champions League spot. And fans of the hosts Wolfsburg were finally able to see their heroes in the flesh again as they returned to the stadium after long months of pandemic restrictions.
Wolfsburg recently celebrated their 75th birthday and their fans were back in the ground to give them belated congratulations. But there was little else to shout about in a turgid affair. Despite playing in the Europa League on Thursday as Leverkusen rested up, Wolfsburg looked the fresher side. John Brooks missed their best chance of a goalless first half. 9 minutes into the second half, Admir Mimedi had the ball in the Leverkusen net. But the offside flag cut short the Wolves' joy. The Swiss international's face neatly summed up the game. Despite the lack of goalmouth action, the Wolfsburg public was clearly grateful to be back. For the players, though, it was a lame start to the season, but at least both sides could smile about it afterwards.
You're watching DW News live from Berlin. Remember, you can keep up to date on all the latest news on our website, dw.com, or Instagram and Twitter. I'm Pablo Folidias. Take care. See you soon.